Chicago, Chicago.
Good afternoon. Here we are again, and it's going to get to be spring. I can feel it coming. What do you think, Chris?
How do you feel spring coming?
You just get it in your bones. I get up a little faster this morning than I normally do. But we're here again. This is Fred and Chris from the neighborhood. And, of course, Matt's on the board working very hard. And we have our special guest today.
We certainly do. An exceptional fellow, Paul Birch, who is the owner of Birch Optical in Chicago. You've been hearing us talk about Paul and his company over the past months, and he'll be sharing some information with us today about eyewear and eye care.
So how are you this morning, important. Paul?
I'm just dandy. How about yourself?
Great.
Fine, thank you.
Back to the afternoon. That's how good I feel.
Afternoon.
I just said good morning.
You thought it was morning. Or you're wishing it was tomorrow morning.
I wish it tomorrow morning, yeah.
And then we have our good friend Bosley calling in, the king of the canines, being, of course, interpreted by his mom, Nicole Carfora, who is the owner of Canine Corral and a certified master groomer.
Excuse me, does that mean the show is going to the dogs?
Oh.
It went there long ago.
That's, yeah, huh. Hope not. And we have also Father Jerry Regala calling in, who is going to be talking to us about St. Joseph's Day.
Yeah, we seem to forget about St. Joseph's Day. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, really, but I don't get into those things. But, you know, there's a lot of hoopla about St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And we'd just like to talk a little bit about St. Joseph's Day today.
Because they coincide, date-wise, somewhat. I think St. Joseph's Day is the 19th of March, and St. Patrick's Day, of course, is the 17th of March.
Right.
So that's interesting news, and, of course, we'll be talking about some of our special people during the show, all the wonderful folks who support our newspapers and our radio program through their advertising and information that they send into us. If you'd like to call into us today, you can reach us at 708-493-1530. That's 708-493-1530.
So, Paul, you're our expert. An expert on eyeglasses and eyes and that kind of thing.
And eye care, really.
And eye care.
So important.
Yes. We have good glasses, we have good care, because we go to you all the time.
That's right, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, well, we've known you for, what, 10 years now?
It's been at least 10 years.
We were just talking about that before the program. Yes. We did one of our very first remotes in your place when you were celebrating one of your anniversaries.
Now, it was 10 years ago. Or 9 years ago, I guess. Actually.
Really? Because now this year you're celebrating your 69th anniversary.
That's correct. We just celebrated our 69th anniversary on February the 24th.
Congratulations.
That's easy for me to remember because I'm 69 in June.
Oh.
So I remember that.
That's interesting.
It's getting old, I have to put these things together, you see, so I don't lose it all together.
Association, right? But you had, this, of course, has been three generations of the Birch
That's
family.
That's correct.
So it's always been family-owned.
Always family-owned. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have a partner, Ken Schmalzer. I hope he's back at the office working hardly.
And if you'd like to call in, of course, and say hi, he's more than welcome.
Call in,
to do
Ken.
That.
Let us know you're working.
Okay.
But now, Birch Optical, of course, people know because they've been listening to the program, you're located in Gladstone Park on Milwaukee Avenue. But you weren't always there, were you?
No,
generations ago.
My grandfather started down in the old Polish neighborhood of Division, Ashland, and Milwaukee Avenues.
Which is considered, is that Bucktown area or Wicker Park?
It's south of Wicker Park.
Okay, a little bit further into the city. There's so many names of these neighborhood entities, and of course we feature so many of them on our programs. In fact, we've started a new series, Ethnic Chicago. So a lot of the programming we do has to do with just the diversity in the city. But then your grandfather started the company.
That's great.
69 years ago.
Henry Birch.
Mm-hmm.
He owned the company till about 1962, and my dad, Dennis Birch, took over from him. Ken and I took over from him in 1989, so it's been a while for us also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 89.
Yes,
my goodness.
Ma'am.
And how long have you been in Gladstone Park?
We've been there for 40 years. It'll be 40 years this coming November. We moved there in 1967.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you have a regular clientele who come. To your store and to your facility for eye exams. And so they have been well educated by you as to the care of their eyes, when they should have exams.
We certainly try to educate people and let them know what is available for them, what they should do, and even sometimes what they should not do.
What is new and exciting in the industry?
Well, you know, people are all talking about the LASIK surgery, which is great. You can wake up in the middle of the night and not have to put glasses on. The only caution we have is be careful as to who's doing the surgeries and how many they've done and how successful they are.
How do you find out about something like that, Paul?
Well, you have to ask around. You ask around. You can go on the internet. There's many different ways to find that out. Experience people that have had surgeries. You have to realize that when that surgery goes wrong, that's when I see the people.
Mm.
Unfortunately, they don't ask the questions prior to. And the only thing I can say is do not go for price, because that's going to be your worst effort there.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is thinking about having it right now, a friend of mine, told me that he was reading on the internet, and this was something that you should take to heart, that if the doctor guarantees anything, it's probably not a good idea. Okay? There's no way they can guarantee what your vision's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's very simple surgery, actually, today. It's very, very minor. But it is surgery, and things can go wrong in surgery.
Of course.
How long do you have to recuperate on that?
Really very little recuperation there. Within a day or two, you're back to your normal routine, with the exception that you're taking eye drops for several months after that.
Then mm-hmm. you shouldn't have to have glasses? Or
Well, that is the theory behind it. Now, when you're your age, Fred, if you have that kind of surgery, most of the time you're going to have to use reading glasses. But there are some people who have had the surgery who still need a correction at some times. A lot of times at night, their vision isn't really very good.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that you want to discuss with the doctor before you go ahead with it. And if you're not comfortable with it, I strongly recommend you don't go through with it.
Yes. Well, because there are so many comfortable types of devices, you know, from the conventional eyeglasses to, of course, contacts. So you can, if you have a vanity issue involved where you don't want to wear eyeglasses, then, you know, to have the surgery would be riskier than certainly going to a contact.
That's correct.
Something that I wanted to ask you about going to the contacts, we have an acquaintance who had actually had an abscess form in his eye because he had slept with his contact lens in his eye.
He almost lost his eye.
Almost lost his eye. So
many of the contacts today are approved to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to recommend it. Your eye does need the oxygen. When your eye is closed, you're cutting off some of that oxygen supply anyway. The oxygen is what keeps the eye healthy. The oxygen in the tears. When you put that contact in, you are blocking some of the oxygen. Also, bacteria forms, that's where your problems come in. You have to be very careful. I don't like to recommend that people sleep in their contacts. I will admit that I have fallen asleep with mine on occasion, but
accidentally, it's not a planned
thing.
Well,
sometimes it's accidental, but sometimes it's not. But, you know, it's something that you have to be aware of. You have to realize you only have one pair of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So...
And yes, absolutely. So you don't want to take any unnecessary chances. You know, it's as we get older, our vision tends to fade anyway.
I don't recommend it.
Yes.
Especially with young kids. You know, they want the convenience, but they're not willing to work with what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we see the eye infections come about.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to break for just a second here, but I want to ask about glaucoma, which is another thing, of course, that no matter if you have perfect vision, you should be tested for that.
That's scary to a fellow my age. You know, you hear the word glaucoma, and you say, oh, I don't want to have to come up against that. People have like a headache, and the first thing they think of is a brain tumor, right? Well, when you get older, you think, when somebody says glaucoma or uses that word, you know, that they can freeze you in your tracks with that one because you know how bad it could be. But let us get back to that.
Yes, and here's something that we all want to consider for Easter Sunday coming along. And actually, you know, it's not too far away. I think it's only about 2 weeks from now. 3 weeks, I suppose, but it's getting close. The White Eagle Banquets and Restaurant, a 60-year tradition of the highest quality of food, service, and value. The White Eagle offers banquet facilities for groups from 40 to 1,000, and of course larger than 1,000 if you have those, large weddings perhaps, or banquets that you want to have accommodated. Their customized menus and full package plans can fit into your needs for whatever you want, whether it be all occasion parties, dinner dances, corporate events. They will accommodate trade shows, so give them a call about that. They have an active website that has a photo gallery and a full menu, so you can view what they have. TheWhiteEagle.com. That's TheWhiteEagle.com. And for their Easter Sunday brunch, they're having family style, of course, for $19 for adults, children half price, from the ages of 3 to 12. And, of course, they have entertainment for the children, gift baskets for people, and, of course, that wonderful White Eagle menu that we all know and love. The White Eagle is located at 6839 North Milwaukee in Niles. Their phone number is 847-647-0660. That's 847-647-0660, the White Eagle Banquets and Restaurant. And this is just something that is going to be coming up this weekend, but it may not be too late to obtain a seat or a table. The St. Tecla Silent Auction and Dinner Dance is being held this Saturday at the White Eagle, as a matter of fact, Saturday, March 24th. They're going to be having the theme at the Hop this year. This is a wonderful way for St. Tecla to raise money for their school. It's their annual fundraiser, so if you'd like to give them a call and find out more specifics on this, the time is running short, but I think you can still obtain a seat. 773-594-9448. That's 773-594-9448. That's the St. Tecla Silent Auction and Dinner Dance. So that's something all of us could benefit from knowing about, the Easter Sunday and the Silent Auction coming along.
Very good. Very good. We were talking about glaucoma.
Yes.
Is
with
that,
Paul Birch.
Yes, and Paul is an expert in this field. Is this something that has improved over the years, that you don't have to worry about it so much, or is it still a kind of a very dangerous thing?
It is a very dangerous thing if you're not treated for it.
Mm-hmm.
First off, most ophthalmologists or optometrists recommend that you have your eyes examined once a year. Some people want to go every 2 or 3 years. We see people who don't come in for years and years. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't need anything. My eyes are fine.
I see fine,
and
right?
It's not, the eye exam is not just what your vision is. It's the health of the eye. They go over everything and check everything out. Glaucoma is pressure in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
It is not restricted to just older people. You can get it virtually at any age. It's pressure in the eye that builds up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easily treated if you catch things early enough with eye drops.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that is caused by anything in particular, have they determined, or it's one of those ailments
it's
that
just
can
one of those
happen
things
anybody
that happen.
Anytime?
It is somewhat hereditary.
Is it?
You can be passed down through the line, but
mm-hmm.
it's mostly, you know, the luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah.
Paul, what happens? Do you go blind if you had glaucoma?
Yes, you can go blind.
And can you catch it further down the line? In other words, is there a point where there's like a no return?
You will lose your vision at some point if it goes untreated.
Yeah, but
yes.
They can treat it up to a
that's
far
correct.
Up into a point.
That is correct.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And there's always medicine, or is it?
They do laser surgery for glaucoma patients now.
Uh-huh.
I am not in that particular field, but I do talk to a lot of the patients that have things going on. One of the other things that is scary and we find more and more common in older people now is macular degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
The macula is deteriorating, and they tend to start losing their vision.
What is deteriorating?
The macula part of the eye. And it usually starts in your central vision. You get vision to the sides, but not in the center.
Hmm.
And they are doing a lot of research on that and haven't come up with anything substantial yet. They have found some things that will slow down the process, as a lot of medications just do for a lot of different ailments, but it is not curing the problem right now. To a certain point, those people tend to go blind. We have a lot of visual aids that will help people with those things, and magnifiers and reading machines and stuff like that.
So that's it's as bad as or worse than glaucoma, but maybe not as many people get into it, or is that?
We're finding more and more people, I suppose if you live long enough, you're going to get something.
Unfortunately, <That's right. laughs> that does seem to be the case, doesn't it?
But hooks in about age 69, Fred, so just so you know.
It's what?
You know, she comes in about age 69, just not to scare you.
No, no, don't scare me. Don't do that.
I'm just kidding about that.
Phew, well, I have a way to go. Paul sold me some Sophia Loren iframes, so I always kid him about looking like Sophia Loren. And who wouldn't want to? Even at 80 years old, Sophia looks pretty good.
Well, the one advantage of 69 is no matter what happens, you always say, well, I'm getting up in age. That's what it is, You always use that as an excuse.
Well, you can use it as an excuse.
Is it an automatic, though, that people really, as they age, does their vision always have to get worse? I had read something recently that the fellow who had passed away, who was on Law and Order, Jerry Orbach, always prided himself in having 20/20 vision, and he was an older gentleman, obviously. But is it just an age-related thing that you're never going to escape, or is it...
Eye goes through many changes, and the most critical age, first of all, is between 12 and 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If those kids their eyes are going to get bad, it's going to get bad right then,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you kind of coast from there to about 35 to 40 years old when you start using the old trombone to read. Your arms are going back and forth with your reading material. That means you're getting to the point where you need a bifocal or reading glasses. Very few people get out of here without that. And there's different ways to do that if you don't need glasses for distance. You can wear the reading glasses. You can wear bifocals with no distance. And you can go, like I do at times, what we call monovision contact lenses. I wear one contact lens.
Mm-hmm.
I see with my right eye for distance, and I read with my left eye.
What's trivocal?
Trivocal.
I'm sorry.
You're trivocal.
I'm trivocal.
You have a voice for every occasion.
Trifocals gives you three different areas of vision. Your distance, of course, and your reading, like your bifocals would be. The intermediate part, the trifocal, is for arm's length. So if you're sitting at the computer, you'll be able to see the computer screen. You'll be able to read. If you're in your car, you can see down the road with the distance portion. You read your speedometer with the intermediate portion, and if you had to read a map, you go down to the bifocal area.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing cards, same thing. You look across the table, you look on the table, and then you look into your hand.
Yeah.
Sometimes. you bring up a word, computer. Excuse me. What effect, if you know, has the computer had on people's eyes? Is it weakened any part of it?
Well, I think it's more stress than anything else. We as a society do a lot more reading than we did years ago, and most of that is done at a computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember when color televisions came out, they said don't sit within 6 feet of it because of the radiation coming off of it and this and that. Now you're taking a television, calling it a CRT, a computer screen, and you're putting it 18 inches in front of your eyes.
Hmm.
And by the time you're...
And that doesn't hurt you, getting up closer.
It does put some undue strain on the eyes, yes.
Because okay. I get something normal, but I would guess I'm like 3 or 4 feet away in a room.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guess. Now, is that bad for the eyes, or should I be 10 feet away or get a bigger TV?
Here again, it's going to depend on your particular eyes. If you're nearsighted, you can see close without your glasses. You can take your glasses off and read that computer screen.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Where, if for myself, I couldn't see the computer screen without my reading glasses.
But there's no radiation or no rays or anything that's going to, ultraviolet impact?
It's been about a good 10 years that almost every computer screen has a ultraviolet filter now. So that years ago, that was a big concern, but... they all block the ultraviolet filters now.
I see. All right. Well.
Do you have situations occur where... I see we have a call-in, but I want to ask you about women and eye makeup when we come back to Paul.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear eye makeup, but...
No, not anymore. Not any less, either.
Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How's my pal, Buzzley?
Buzzley is good. He's actually doing some foot therapy today.
He's talking right now. I can hear him.
He's talking. How are you, Nicole?
I'm okay. How are you, Fred? Chris?
Fine, very well, very
you.
Well.
And we have Paul Birch here with us today, Nicole, with Birch, who owns Birch Optical Company. You might
yes,
know
hi, Paul.
Paul.
Yes, I was listening to the earlier conversation.
Where are you?
Maybe we'll talk Paul into making some glasses for the dog if he needs them.
Well, Bobby doesn't need them yet, but I do know some dogs that, you know, knock into walls and stuff, so they might be an option for them.
What about sunglasses, right?
They actually do have goggles out now, like if your dog, like, stick his head out the window to protect their eyes.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And, of course, Nicole, you know, for our listeners out there, we're speaking with Nicole Carfora, who is the owner of Canine Corral and Higgins in Chicago. And you're the mom of Bosley, the king of the canines. And, of course, you've been calling in regularly and letting us know what the world of animals has to say out there.
I try. It's been kind of a crazy week for me and Bosley.
You're
so
kind of an expert. You're fun to talk to because you, like other people, like Paul or whoever else we talk to, it's fun to talk to somebody that knows their business. And you certainly do know your business.
Thank you.
And of course, Bosley's running for president. Research. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Nicole?
I said I try to because something I want to alert everyone to is make sure you check online about the food recall that's going on right now.
Oh, that's right, the food recall.
Yes, make sure your food is not there. Most of the stores have been really good about pulling the stuff from the shelves, but you don't want to make sure you have extra cans in your cupboard somewhere.
Chris took me off Alpo last night. Now I'm on a rice diet.
Where you got that shiny coat from?
I do have a little information maybe you don't know about. There's been a law passed now by our good governor, House Bill 4804, and what the law is that if there's a disaster, a tornado, a flood, a spillage of chemical, and they have to get people out of the house, their animals now can stay with them. They had a huge problem down in New Orleans when they had that. You know, these poor people, they would have to leave their animal or give it to somebody off, and then they would have to go to a shelter. But this law now covers that if you are driven out of your house, and the state says, or whoever, you've got to move from here to there, and you have a dog, a cat, I don't know about elephants, but whatever, you can take it. You can take it along with you, and they have to let you in. Which I think is a nice law. People don't realize, I know they don't realize that if you own an animal, he's very much part of your life. And,
they do, and it's hard. I think the country, just because of Hurricane Katrina, has come a long way in animal rights, if you will, just because of that. I think in our area, we're fortunate because we don't usually have the hurricanes and stuff. But you do have to make a plan for yourself, include your dog. I mean, it's just like teaching your children about, you know, what to do in case of a fire. You kind of have to have the same plan for a dog or bird or even elephant, as Fred says. But it is. The bill is very helpful that if, you know, for some reason the area floods, you are allowed now to take your dog or cat with you.
Well, I wish, you know, you say more and more people are getting accustomed or knowing more about these situations and understand that animals are important. I wish the people that rent buildings, I wish they would understand that, too. There's so many times you look in a paper, you know, this, and this, no animals.
Yeah.
But I've always thought to myself, that's strange because here's a fellow that's going to check my credit, make sure I'm going to pay a fairly good amount every month in order to rent his little place, you know. But he's afraid that I won't be able to handle a dog.
Yeah. And I think animal people tend to be more responsible than non-animal people. You
definitely.
Know, it just depends on the people.
Well, we've always had stupid dogs. I mean, they don't know how to write on the wall with crayon.
Yeah.
They don't know how to put the water on and let it go over the sink and, you know, flow downstairs.
Exactly.
And there's a whole bunch of things. These dogs just are not smart enough. Every kid knows it.
Yes, I think they're afraid of chewing and stuff because a lot of apartments will take in a small dog but not a big dog because they think big equals more damage. Well, I've known little Yorkies who have destroy kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, little guys can do a heck of a lot more damage. And the big guy's usually quiet. He lays there. You know,
yeah, you know,
don't bother me. I won't bother you. You know.
Yeah.
So,
Nicole, we were talking about the pet food recall. Was there something else you wanted to just inform people about with that, or just to
check your cupboards? Because I think talking to a lot of my clients today about it, they know not to go out and buy the stuff, but they're forgetting that you tend to bulk up when you go buy dog food or cat food, and you kind of put it in the back of your cupboard. So make sure that anything old that's in there, you look and make sure it's not on those lists. That's very important.
What is a good food to supplement, like rice or something of that sort, until this thing
clears it up? Well, there's still a lot of dog food out there that aren't on the recall list.
There are quite a few that aren't on the recall list. Yeah,
yeah, it's not every dog food. Don't panic, everyone, Friday. It's not every dog food. It's just a few. They had some snafu.
So you could just change my dinner tonight.
Yes, that's right.
Just change my dinner.
Well, if you're in a pinch, say you have no food in the house, what I would usually feed my dogs is rice and, ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
Make the ground beef, drain the fat. That's actually great for if the dog has a case of diarrhea. That's usually what you should do for the dog.
Yes, yes.
You should pretty much, if your dog has severe diarrhea, you should take away all food for at least 24 hours, let the body adjust, and then feed rice and beef.
Chicken.
A lot of people have chicken in the house. It's easier, too.
Right. Now, we have done that with several of our dogs. And, of course, then they don't want to ever get off of the rice and beef because they like it so
not.
Much.
Why would you?
That's right.
And it's worse when you have multiple dogs, because just because the one is sick doesn't mean they all are. But everyone has to have it.
Right. But that's interesting. You should keep them off food, solid food for 24 hours before you start.
Yeah, it helps let their intestines and everything calm down from the shock of being sick.
Right.
I saw a vet last night, and he pointed out something I thought was kind of interesting in a way. He said, a lot of people have these dogs around. They've had them for 3, 4, 5 years. They've never brought them to the vet. Bring them into the vet because they think he might have this food poisoning. He said it could be a number of things that's wrong with the dog. You never brought him in, so you never noticed it till now.
It is. A lot of the vets are pushing now for at least twice a year to have your dog examined.
Yeah.
At least once, do something for the fourth. People forget, and just because the dog or cat even looks healthy, animals hide a lot of their illnesses, and it's just good, like us, to keep up on, making sure the heart is, sounding right and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a form of self-protection for animals in most cases, is it?
Exactly.
Because if they, just going back to the wild, if they are not 100%, they might be vulnerable to attack. And
exactly, so they hide it.
Sure.
Yes.
Something that we just wanted to bring up one more time, or at least again today, is about the chips. You were telling us the last time you called in that it's so easy for pet owners to obtain the identification chips for their pets.
Yes. Just go to any pet store usually carries it. It's very simple. Because, for example, today we had a client bring in a stray poodle.
Mm-hmm.
The dog looks like he's been on the street for a while, but we don't know if it belongs to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They just took it off the streets because it was raining all day and they felt bad and wanted to get it cleaned up, but we have no way of finding this owner because the dog has no tag on, no collar, and she even took him to the vet and there's no microchip, so there's no way for us to reunite this dog with its owner.
Right, and this is a fairly easy process, not very expensive, and
it's
everybody
usually $6, I believe, the last one I bought at Pet Supplies Plus.
Boy, okay, and any qualified master groomer or vet can put them in, right?
Well, no, just chips. Veterinarians usually do it. For the microchips, it's only by veterinarians.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, I'm sure that Bosley is getting his next article ready for our newspapers. And
he's working on it. He has several ideas, so he's very confused right now.
Well, that makes him right to run for president, doesn't it?
He's considering it.
Completely confused.
It must be spring fever.
I think so. I think he's ready for some warm weather. He's been cooped up too long.
Well, you have a good day, and thanks for calling in.
Okay,
and
we'll
talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nicole. And, of course, that's our good friend Nicole Carfora, who is the owner of Canine Corral at 7040 West Higgins in Chicago. They have a website, caninecorral.net, so please reference that for information about their dog food and products that they carry, all natural products. No tranquilizers are used during their grooming processes. They do hand scissoring, and they have a great new shedless treatment, excuse me, for perhaps your animals who have a shedding problem. Give them a call at 773-775-1040. That's 773-775-1040, Canine Corral.
Now we're back to...
And mention Bosley.
Yes, Mr. Birch is still here.
Mr. Birch, Paul Birch, Birch
Optical. Paul Birch, yeah, when you know him, you have to, he's Paul, he's not Mr. Birch.
my dad was Mr. Birch.
Your dad was Mr. Birch. I knew your dad, he was a fine gentleman, as you are. We were going to talk a little bit about what, cosmetics?
Yes, cosmetics and how they might affect your eye. You know, all of us ladies who wear eye makeup are used to seeing in department stores and the grocery stores and the pharmacies the non-allergic type of eye makeup. And we assume that that means it's perfectly safe. You can get it into your eye and it won't bother you. What is the fallacy of that? I think that sounds
a
little dangerous.
I don't know how you women do it. I see women putting their eye makeup on in the car while they're driving. And
that's bad.
I see my kids putting makeup on while I'm driving the car, which is not a good idea either. But... you have to be careful because you can have an allergic reaction to the makeup. You know, you're putting something foreign in the eye. I've never done it myself, so I don't know how difficult it is to put eye makeup on. I always recommend to my contact lens wearers, make sure you put your contacts in first so you absolutely see what you're doing. And, you know, that'll help protect the eye. It will get on the contact. You know, you take the contact out and clean it if you have to.
What's the general thing to do in a general situation where you get something in your eye, like makeup or, you know, how do you wash it out? Or what's the best way to wash it out?
You can get a contact lens saline solution. There's eye drops. You just want to flush the eye out.
What about water, milk? You know, the old idea of the eye cup with milk.
Water is not a good idea.
Oh, not a good idea.
No.
Why
is
it?
There's bacteria and chlorine and stuff in that water that you don't want to put in your eye.
Oh.
I don't recommend you make a steady diet of pouring saline in there, but it comes in a bottle where you can squirt it in there, and if anything is in the eye, you can help flush it out.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's...
Sometimes in the morning, I know when I wake up, my eyes are a little crusty, tired. I call them dry because they're hard to get them in motion, you know? And you just don't put water in them, though.
You can go to any pharmacy and pick up re-wetting drops for contact lens wearers or any kind of...
I don't wear contacts.
But it wouldn't hurt you. You know, any kind of over-the-counter, you know, drop that'll lubricate the eye. You can talk to your pharmacist about that.
On hand in case something happens.
That's right.
I really am almost embarrassed to say this now, but last year, something freaky, of course, these accidents are always freaky when they happen. I was squirted in the face with some insect repellent. And fortunately, I had, you know, my reaction was to close my eyes because it's just an instinctive thing. But a little bit of it, you know, I think probably either was on my eyelashes or I could feel a burning sensation. And this was old insect repellent, so probably a lot of the effect had worn off of the repellent itself, but I flushed my eye heavily with water, and I never seemed to have any kind of repercussions from that. But now that you mention this about water, that's awfully good for people to know.
That's right. And, you know, the eye will flush itself out with the tears. You know, you get something in your eye, your eyes tend to tear up right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the natural process. That's what helps keep the eyes clean.
Yeah. You know, you were mentioning before that you have monofocal contacts. Is that what you call them?
We call them monovision.
Monovision.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as contacts that are bifocal?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We do fit a lot of contacts with bifocals. And all I can say is if you want to try these, you have to be very patient because it's a hit and miss. You have to try one thing. If that doesn't work, we try something else. If that doesn't work, we try something else.
Mm-hmm.
They are making many, many improvements in the bifocal contacts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perfect system as of yet, and I'm sure they will get to that point.
What about, for example, if you wear contacts for distance? Is it harmful, then, to use reading glasses while you have those contacts in?
No.
Okay, so that's
it's
not going
to... It's just like wearing a bifocal. You're set up for your distance, and then you put the glasses on over the contacts in order to read.
Mm-hmm. Or vice versa.
Yes.
Let's say if you really only need your glasses to drive at that point, you'd rather be able to read without
glasses
on. Okay, yes. That's interesting. So there are many different scenarios people can go with.
There's many different ways we can go with. You can wear non-prescription glasses with a bifocal in it. And that's what I have here today. That's what I'm wearing. I don't need them for the distance. I need them to read. Mm-hmm. But I put them on. I don't have to be taking them on and off all the time. I can leave them on, and I'll be able to read whatever I need to read.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier things that are eye aids, such as, the printing industry, you always used a scope, you know, where we could pull things up, look at them, check them, this and that, you know. These are more available to people now, aren't they?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Can they get them through your place?
Yes, you can. There's a lot of different things that that we have in magnifiers, different sizes, different strengths. The stronger the magnification does not necessarily mean the better your vision is going to be. If we're talking about macular degeneration, people think I need a stronger magnifier. Well, a lot of times it's light plus the magnification is more important than just the magnification.
Well, we're going to break away for a minute, but there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about when we get back that I think would help the average person to understand more of what's going on. So if you just bear with us a few minutes.
Not a problem.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm very fine.
Very good. You're looking well.
And, of course, we're for our listeners out there, we're speaking with Father Jerry Regala. How are you, Father?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yes.
We have another friend of yours here, Paul Birch from Birch Optical in Gladstone Park.
Yes.
How are you doing, Father?
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good.
Well, we had talked a little bit yesterday about St. Joseph's Day.
The St. Joseph's table, and
without question, you have got to be one of the smartest men in history I've ever met. I mean that sincerely. You seem to have all the facts always right down to where they should be. And, you know, I mean, and you know it. It isn't like you have to go and find a book. You know it. And so I said, there's only one fellow I know in this world that can help us out, and that's you, Father Regala. And maybe you could tell us, how did St. Joseph's Day get started?
I'm not sure. You know, St. Joseph's Day really refers to the Italian celebration. The Italian Catholics would celebrate that feast. That's the church feast of St. Joseph, was a very important person in the New Testament. And they would celebrate it by having Italian pasta and salads and great puff sweets and... that also give donations that be used to give food to the poor. It's a nice way to celebrate that feast.
Yes, it is.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we brought this up to each other last week, Father, and not to sound too ill-informed about this, but the St. Joseph that we're referring to, of course, was Jesus Christ's father, Joseph, correct?
Correct.
Okay, because there are several St. Josephs, I believe, but this is the St. Joseph that we're referring to.
Absolutely.
And he is the saint for Italy, huh? Is that
He's
how
the
you
patron
say
saint patron of saint. The Italian Catholic Church. He's also the patron saint of the Polish Catholic Church, the people in Poland.
Hmm.
And he's certainly he's one of the three in the New Testament that's called just. So that's a very high title for somebody. And he's quoted in Matthew and Luke's gospel, usually as Jesus, the son of Joseph.
I see. He became a saint. He was the father of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, were there things that he did in order to raise him up into sainthood?
There's many comments I'd like to make. First of all, a canonized saint didn't happen. Maybe to the 9th century, they start official canonization. He's revered as a saint because he's in the New Testament, and he's called a just man. So that's by the fact he's in God's Word, in Scripture, he's a saint. And let's see. Well, also, you know, there's something interesting about Joseph in the New Testament. He's only in Luke's and Matthew's Gospel. But we know of nothing he said. In Matthew, three times an angel came don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Take the child to Egypt because he's in danger. Take the child back. And it says Joseph woke up from his dream and did what the instructions said. So what we know about Joseph is he did what God wanted him to do. And he didn't discuss it. He didn't question it. He just simply did it. And that's why he's also the patron of the whole church, because, the Catholic Church believes the church should do what God says. And so, and that's what Joseph does in Scripture. And some ethnic groups have chosen him to be the patron of their national church.
And this probably, you couldn't give any better example of just raw faith, could you?
No, probably not. So, Mary, the Mother of God, is for us, is the highest saint. And she's enthroned in the highest, she's the queen of heaven. And she would be the greatest.
You know, I appreciate you coming on, and this is really enlightening. I don't think a lot of people know about St. Joseph. But everybody knows about St. Patrick. And and that seems to be not so religious, but more of a festive time, can I put it that way?
It's celebrated here in that way. He was a missionary bishop, and he was a wonderful, holy person, too.
I see. And in other countries, it's more religious type of
exactly.
Holiday.
In
Europe,
yes, in Ireland it would be, correct?
In Europe, these would be very religious days, and in our culture, it's an excuse for something else sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
That's true enough.
I had a question. Oh, unless, did you want to ask something else, Fred? Father, on the St. Joseph table tradition, I know you talked about that as you first started out talking about St. Joseph, but this was, of course, a way to feed people who were less fortunate.
Right.
But the practice, of course, is still carried through now, today, that a lot of the different parishes have a St. Joseph's table.
Correct.
And is there any tie-in there, too, with people who are perhaps less fortunate? Do they give the leftover food to charity, or how does that work?
Yes, they often do that. Any leftover foods would be taken to some shelter or nursing home, and donations would be given to a kitchen to certainly help the poor.
So it's the sharing of our bounty that this is all indicative of, correct?
Exactly.
Yes.
I thank you so much for coming on today.
My pleasure.
You give us all an uplift when you talk because the way the life is today and the way things should be. And you kind of, I think, give everybody a little inspiration. So keep it going.
Thank you, Brett.
And, Father, I did want to mention one more thing, too. As we're sitting here at WJJG, of course, this station is owned by Joe Gentile, you may know.
Yes.
And I just happened to look up as you first came on the radio, and lo and behold, there is a statuette of St. Joseph.
Yes.
On top of the equipment. So he's watching over us as we speak.
He's a wonderful patron to have.
Yes,
he is. Well, you have a good day, sir.
Thank you very much.
And I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Father. That was Father Jerry Regala. And, of course, so many people from the Northwest side have known Father Regala for many years. And he's a wonderful man, does so much good for people. Here's a fellow who does a lot of good for people on a daily basis as well, a caring concept to help you be at home. Dennis Lemke and Laura Hartley own a caring concept, and their goal is to meet your individual needs by providing experienced, referenced caregivers who will assist you with your daily personal care and grooming, ambulation and other activities of daily living, prepare meals, do light housekeeping. They provide homemaker companions, certified nurses' aides, private duty aides, and all of this can be obtained with no contract, believe it or not. Their agency is licensed, bonded, and insured. So for people who want either short or long-term help, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, doesn't matter, a caring concept can help you be at home. So if you're perhaps recuperating from surgery or are incapacitated in any way, please give them a call. They can direct you in the right way. Number is 773-539-6600. That's 773 573- 239-6600. Their website, acaringconcept.com, can give you even further information. But they're number one with immediate and personal response to all of your needs, A Caring Concept.
Paul,
yes,
you're
sir.
Still with us.
You just woke me up.
Oh, he was in the corner praying.
You know, Father Regal is out in Buffalo Grove at St. Mary's, and their eighth grade girls basketball team knocked off my daughter's eighth grade team this year for the second year in a row over at St. Emily's. So
they did.
They play some good basketball out there.
So you still keep in touch with Father Regal indirectly?
You know, if I saw him out there, you know, I know him, and I don't know if he would remember me. He meets so many people. He was at St. Teclas for so many years.
Absolutely, yeah, right on the northwest
side. Getting back to your business,
yes,
just for a second. Some people I see today say they go to the drugstore and they've been buying glasses.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, for $5 or $10, whatever it is. And these glasses, I say, how do you go about it? Well, you just look at them until they seem right and then you take them. How much damage are they doing?
Well, let me tell you, I had a motorcycle many years ago. And when I was buying my helmet for my motorcycle, there was a sign there: if you have a $10 head, you can buy a $10 helmet.
Oh.
Okay. That's simple. It's not going to give you the protection. And the same thing with the eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm.
First off, most people don't even realize their eyes are different left and right. So they're really not correcting their vision.
Mm-hmm.
We measure the pupillary distance, which is the distance between your pupils, so that when you do look, your eyes are converging together. If those are in too far or out on these ready-made things, you're putting a strain on the eyes.
Yeah.
You certainly proved that to me one day.
Yes.
You showed me how it was done with my eyes. And at that time, I think one of the eyes was out a little bit.
That's
you
correct.
Just pull them right back in. There's another thing. Do frames mean anything? I mean, is this an important part of this whole operation? Or
well, without the frame,
other than going
without
to
the frame, you're just
going to
hold the lenses in front of your eye.
I don't want to go to Hollywood this week.
Yeah. You know, frames range from very, very basic up to...
Mm-hmm.
You have to look for a style that you're going to be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember, most people buy glasses every 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a look you're going to have to be with, because they don't want to spend the money to buy a second pair, which they all should have anyway.
Well,
but they can have their lenses changed, like you say,
correct.
You know, have their eyes checked in lenses, but they might tend to keep the same frames for
that's
a few
correct.
Years.
I don't have to worry.
The lenses today are so thin and lightweight, there's many different things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you make these lenses, or you, when we go to you, you always say, well, here's, you know, you write the formula from
that's
your
right.
man, and then they go out, when we come back a week later, in other words, we've got everything together, the frames, the lenses,
we do everything right there in our office.
Uh-huh.
From eye exams to the fittings
that's
to the
correct.
To the end product.
We our own lenses, edge them. We do everything right there on the premises.
Is there anything we should know about lenses? We talked about the eyes, the glass, but the lens itself. Is there anything that's significant that you should know about your lenses? Or?
You know, people who have a very heavy correction, whether they're very nearsighted or very farsighted, we're recommending what we call a high-index lens, okay? In layman's terms, the curves are flatter, the lens is thinner. The index of refraction also refers to the way the light bends as it goes through the lens.
Mm-hmm.
The higher the index, the thinner the lens will be. And there are so many different products out there now. Glass lenses had an index of 1.5 and plastic 1.49. And now we have lenses that are 1.54, 1.56, 1.58.
Mm-hmm.
And they are technical terms to me, and they mean nothing to the average consumer. Many people are selling one thing and giving you something else, and you don't even know what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to walk into my store, I don't even know exactly what product you are wearing. I can only tell you what I'm going to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the thinnest lens available, it is available. We have coatings that we put on the lenses today. The anti-reflective coatings are very big. When you go out at night, you see little halos around the artificial lighting, especially at night. The anti-reflective coatings virtually eliminate those halos for you. Enhances your vision.
Mm-hmm.
In cleaning your lenses, I had a little touch of photography and graphic arts, which we had lenses. And there was a case where they said, well, there's certain things you just better not ever clean that lens with that, because it'll put an aberration in the lens and so forth. But anyway, is there anything that we should be watching out for? The people with the pair of glasses, anything we shouldn't be using, or anything that would be very preferable to use? Or
you might want to write this down, Fred. Soap and water.
Never use that. Water. That's right.
What I recommend people to do is when they're washing their dishes, they have the sink full of soapy water.
Mm-hmm.
Rinse them around, get them nice and sudsy, then rinse them off, and wipe them with a soft tissue Kleenex or toilet paper.
Uh-huh.
We never recommend you clean a lens while it's dry, unless you have a specific microfiber cloth.
I'm guilty of that.
In our own office, we have a little tub of water with just a dish detergent.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy all sorts of different kinds of lens cleaners, mm-hmm. and such, and that's fine. Even Windex is fine. I mentioned the anti-reflective coating. There are special cleaners that will really help keep that lens clean.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's scratch coats to keep perhaps your lenses from scratching too easily. And
we supply nothing but the scratch-resistant coated lenses in our office.
Uh-huh.
We think that highly of it. We think that's what it should be done, so that's what we do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even, we don't pass those charges on to you.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Very nice.
Well, I think one thing, and maybe you won't say it, but the personal touch is very important. Unfortunately, the country and everything is getting away from the personal touch. And big corporations, we ask somebody a question, and all they have to do is go back to their computer, because they don't have an answer. They have no knowledge of what they're even doing. But coming into your place as an example, it is that personal touch. It's somebody that can say, look, I know what I'm doing. I'm trained at this. I'm not some little dolly that's sitting there that smiles, right? I really know what I'm doing. And I think that's so important that people should look at that. Go back to the fellow that'll do the job for you. He may not be a big international corporation. He might be just the guy in your neighborhood that'll help you out.
We agree. You know, we've been doing this for a long, long time. The only thing I have that I can sell better than anyone else is my service.
Mm-hmm.
You can go anywhere and get a pair of glasses. If they're not fit properly, if they're not ground properly, the vision's not going to be great with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have another question for you, Paul. When we come back, we have a caller calling in right now, but I want to ask you about sunglasses.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, this is Jan from Elmhurst.
Hi, Jan. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Oh,
fine.
All right. My usual miserable self.
Oh, well, it's not a very nice day now, so I hope it does improve.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was listening to Father Ragawa talking about St. Joseph, and I have a little tidbit, a little trivia. For a lot of people may know about it, they may not. But there's a tradition that actually started back in the 1500s from St. Teresa of Avila, Spain, where you bury, if you're trying to sell property, you bury the statue of St. Joseph upside down and facing your house. And then, you know, you pray and you ask for his intervention. And there's no guarantee that your house will sell because it's all God's will. But this is a tradition that she started when she was trying to get new land to build a church on.
That's very nice.
That's very interesting,
that cool?
Janet.
Yeah.
Yes, and this has been something that's been going on since 1500, you said?
Yes. Yes.
My goodness. Had you ever heard
of it? It must be a little proven, or it wouldn't have continued.
Apparently not. Apparently
I've used
not.
It many times myself, but I must say we've been successful.
Well, with the house market today, I think we ought to sell a lot of these statues.
And after you sell your home, you're supposed to dig up St. Joseph and put him in a place of reverence in your home.
Oh, how lovely. Can you use the same St. Joseph statue for each home you sell, do you know?
Absolutely.
So you can recycle the statue?
It's recyclable.
Oh, good.
It's one of those, hey, if it worked once, let's try it again.
That's right.
Now, where would one find one of these statuettes, do you think?
Oh, I think that, well, they're sold online. I did my little research today, and there's lots of websites that sell them.
Uh-huh.
I've had experience recently at the hospital gift shop here in Elmhurst, and I know that they sell them.
Oh.
So I would imagine any religious store, Catholic store, most would be the best advice. You can get them in any town or order them on the internet.
Very
yes.
good.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, thank you for calling in. That is
very
a good
welcome.
Tip.
And, you know, Janet, for doing this, calling in and letting our listeners know about this, it's really fascinating. Had you heard about this, Paul, before?
I've done it myself, yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Paul Birch has done that himself, and it worked, right?
Well, somebody came through for us. We'll give St. Joseph the credit.
We'll give St. Joseph
okay.
the credit. Janet, for calling in today, we've got a prize for you, so stay on the phone after we get you off the air, and we'll send something to you nice.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank
have
you.
Have a good day,
for listening.
Jen.
You guys have a nice day, too, and I love your show.
Thank you
so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. That's nice. Yeah, see, there's all. It's interesting, the things that we don't know, and then all of a sudden you start to accumulate this knowledge. It's wonderful.
Very good.
Here's a fellow who has accumulated so much knowledge through the years. Nelson Funeral Homes, Leonard Zielinski. At the Park Ridge location at 820 Talcott Road, invite you to call in and find out more about their two convenient, home-like, comfortable locations. Nelson has actually been privately owned since 1929 by the same family. So, Paul, this kind of goes with your family history as well, another independent business out there. And, of course, so many of the funeral homes have gone corporate these days, so Nelson is independent. They offer traditional services, memorial celebrations, cremation options, and pre-planning. So give them a call. They have two locations, one in Andersonville at 5149 North Ashland and one in Park Ridge at 820 Talcott. Their website, nelsonfunerals.com, but better yet, give them a call at 847-823-5122. That's 847-823-5122. And if you're looking for a little fun this weekend, you can stop into the Edison Park Inn. They have live music on the 24th of March, this Saturday night. They have Barely Standing. Now, I've never heard of this band, but I'm sure a lot of the young folks have. Barely Standing will be appearing at the Edison Park Inn at 6715 North Olmsted. That's in Edison Park. The Edison Park Inn also is known for its wood-burning oven pizza, open 7 days a week from 11 o'clock. They have a full-service lounge with all sporting events on satellite and cable. So do check them out online at edisonparkinn.net or give them a call 773-775-1404 to find out about party packages. They have live music, bowling, and billiards on the second floor. And, of course, you can accommodate private parties there at the Edison Park Inn. Curves is still having their annual food drive, their ninth annual drive. If you drop off a basket or a bag of groceries, Curves Food Drive benefits the New Hope Community Food Pantry. The three locations that you can bring your donations are Norwood Park, 5854 North Northwest Highway, Edgebrook at 5354 West Devon, and Elmwood Park at 2840 North Harlem. Call Curves for more information at 773-763-0563. That's 773-763-0563. And the important, besides helping people, you can help yourself because you'll get a free sign-up registration if you bring in your groceries during the month of March.
And you're going there, so you'll be in great shape.
Yes, and I'm bringing the groceries, even though I'm already a member.
Paul, we can't thank you enough for coming today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I think it's so important that people know from the right people what certain things are. And you're right, our eyes, we only get one set of them. And it really does a lot of good things for most of us, I know.
Yes.
So it's good to be able to take care of them, but it's good to be able to also talk to somebody like yourself who knows what you're supposed to do.
If anybody has any questions, they can always stop in
and
give us a holler.
And where are you located exactly?
We're 5493 Milwaukee Avenue. That's on the corner of Milwaukee and Menard in Chicago.
And the telephone number is?
773-775-3300.
And, of course, if people mention you and your participation in the show, they'll receive $25 off on a complete set of eyewear.
Even if they mention Fred.
Even Fred. What about Chris?
Chris, too.
The guy that learned about soap and water. That guy, Fred, you know?
Yeah. Well, Paul, thank you so much, you and your partner, Ken, for helping us.
This was fun. I know all these people that you're talking about and talking to.
Yeah,
so it's
that's
kinda great.
Well, it's a neighborhood show, and that's what we want to keep doing, is to have neighbors in, people that know each other.
Yes.
And when I first came out here, they told me it was a big city with a small-town attitude, and it certainly hardly is. It seems if you live in a place long enough, you know everybody in that area.
Well, it's the neighborhood, you know, it's Gladstone Park, and we're very proud of that.
And next week, we have some more neighborhood people. A new series, Barbershop Talk, will be starting up next week about neighborhood news. Of course, we'll be doing some more ethnic Chicago. We have an auto expert coming on to talk about the care of your car or vehicle. And Our Lady of the Resurrections, Tracy Blatt, senior physical therapist associated with the Balance Center, will be calling in talking to us about that.
Well, thanks again for coming and listening. And Paul, again, thank you for being here. Matt, thanks for doing a great job. When are you having those people over for that 1,000 people dinner? We want to make sure
when he gets married.
Okay.
And, of course, we've had the privilege of having Paul Birch, Birch Optical, with us today. We thank you, Birch.
Thank you all. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you next week. Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you.